Hey guys, what's up? This is Jacques. Welcome back to Unpopular. I have Gamble Bro from The Real Housewives of Melbourne on today. Now, I know that I said that this season of The Housewives of Melbourne is pretty shit, and it kind of is, but I'll be honest, it's been getting good the last few episodes because it's like, I think we had a few early episodes that just were not that great, and now we have this fucking amazing storyline, right, about one housewife maybe broke into another housewife's apartment, but then it could have been a third housewife that made that up, and it's a whole thing. It's really juicy. It's really fucking interesting, and the season has actually gotten good because all of the drama now is swirling around this, and I love it. So I am going to explain that to you in a bit. In case you haven't been watching the show, I'll tell you what's going on, and then I'll bring Gamble out. But before I do that, I just want to chat about a few other things, you know, a few other shows and hot topics before we get into it. So first of all, I actually have some good news. We raised about $600 or so for the Buy From a Black Woman nonprofit. A lot of you donated. You know, that was my little fundraiser. It was my way to like fuck over the trolls and then also raise some money for a good cause. So double whammy. You guys came through and I was really surprised how many of you donated. It was amazing. And of course, none of the trolls threw in a cent, but you know, it is what it is. It says more about them than it does about us. Anyway, good work, guys. Okay, so you guys know that I fucking hate Selling Sunset, right? I've never been a fan. I have liked some of the women individually, like I follow them, you know, through Page Six and their exploits, but I never liked the show. But I think I've done a 180 on it now because the new season is out, season four, and I thought, you know what? Everyone's going to be fucking talking about Selling Sunset season four for the next month, so let me just give it another shot and see if I like it. And I started season two because previously I'd watched season one, and now I'm into it. I was watching season two, and I was like, oh, I get it now. Now I know why people like this show. So I'm really enjoying it. I'm not completely up to date. I still need to watch the end of season two and then get through season three, but I'm into it now. Season one, I still think does suck, but it's like once you get past that, then it's good. So I'm into it now, and I would recommend to anyone else that, you know, gave it a go and wasn't into it like me. I have had a lot of messages from you guys going, yeah, I agree. It's really boring. It's overrated. Just get through season one, start season two, and then it gets good. So yeah, I haven't watched season four yet, but I hear that everyone hates Queen Christine, and we love Christine, but apparently she's like the focus of all the drama. I'm getting a lot of tweets about her. People are either like, she's the queen and she's making the show, or other people are like, you know, she's a liar, she's the worst. So it's all about Christine, and I am a little biased to her, I'll be real, because she does follow me on Twitter, so that has influenced me. But I did always like her from the start. Like, she was kind of the obvious star of that show. And I mean, I know that they try to make the other one, Chrishell, the one on Dancing with the Stars, they try to make her like the queen bee, but we all know that it's Christine. So anyway, there is this like new conspiracy going around online that Christine faked her pregnancy and she used a surrogate. I think we're calling it Pregnancy Gate. Remember that happened to Beyonce years ago? I do think Beyonce faked that pregnancy, I'm not going to lie, when she sat down and she had the folded bump. But I mean, Beyonce is like the biggest liar ever. People nowadays don't realize, because I used to be like a music blogger and everything. And way back in the day when kind of like the late 2000s, Beyonce was in so many scandals about her like faking songwriting credits and just like she lied about so much shit. And then she doesn't really get that kind of press anymore, so people don't realize, but she's real shady. Anyway, Beyonce aside, people are saying that Christine Quinn faked her pregnancy. Now, I don't believe this, and I don't know how the fuck she could have faked it, because if you followed her like in the media, I swear to God, every single day Christine was like calling the paps and getting photographed pregnant with her belly out. She was doing magazine covers. She probably has the best publicist I've ever seen, because she just really took that show and ran with it, and she gets so much press and she loves it, which I like that about her. She really does embrace it. She has like a Spidey-esque quality to her, like a Heidi Montag kind of vibe, and I think she's great. But I don't think she faked her pregnancy, but a lot of people do. So it started on Reddit. So some fucking fan with way too much time on their hands compiled all the so-called evidence. And then, you know that Sophie Ross chick? She's like a Twitter journalist person. And I think she's a... She's like a correspondent for Ryan Bailey's podcast. Well, she took the Reddit thread over to Twitter and then it caught fire there and she blew it up there. So I skimmed the Reddit thread to see, all right, like, what is this all about? And it just seemed like a lot of big leaps and reaches to me. Like, there was no smoking gun. It was just some fucking Selling Sunset stan that was overanalyzing the timing of Christine's Instagram posts, just shit like that. And then they would editorialize a lot, like, well, Christine is a proven narcissist and she's lied throughout the show. Remember, she got mad when Davina wouldn't lie on her behalf. That's what a sociopath she is. And it's like, well, okay, that doesn't prove that she faked her pregnancy. Also, do we have to keep reminding you that these shows aren't real? These reality shows are not real. Like, they're varying degrees of real, but again, like, don't compare it to fucking real, especially not Selling Sunset. Okay, some shows, if someone does keep lying over the course of a reality show, I think you can go, okay, this person's like shady as fuck. But like, Selling Sunset, this was made by the same person that made The Hills, which is like the famous great fake reality show of all time. So I wouldn't be like matching up timelines and stuff based on Selling Sunset and things that people say. I pretty much treat Selling Sunset like a scripted show. Even Housewives, that I'm very skeptical about, I think Housewives is far more realistic than Selling Sunset. So this fucking loser on Reddit, they made this whole thread about her and, you know, they were complaining like, oh, she's a terrible person. She sets unrealistic beauty standards for women. It's like, okay, so basically you just hate her personality based off this show that you watch and you hate everything about her. So now you're convinced she faked her pregnancy. Conspiracy theorist. And then when they were getting called out for the Reddit post, they started backtracking. I think people could see that, like, this was a reach, and it's probably not cool to question someone's pregnancy in that way. So then the Reddit poster, they were like, Netflix and the editors need to be held accountable for misleading the public about pregnancy. It's just like, it's so embarrassing. I can't believe these people. Every week that I do this podcast and I'm exposed to like fans of these shows, I'm just always like blown away by the idiots that watch them and become this invested. I mean, I've spent years defending reality shows as being, you know, not, there's a perception that like reality shows are stupid and that everyone that watches them is stupid. And I'm like, no, like they're really well made. They're really funny. They're, you know, it's a great medium. But then when I see these people popping up, I'm like, well, maybe all reality television is stupid. Maybe we shouldn't be watching it if we have to fucking be associated with these kinds of people. Anyway, Christine came out on Twitter. She said it was all bullshit. She wrote in a tweet, she said, for all of y'all still mad on Pregnancygate, please look at my IG stories and apologize. This is seriously so hurtful. Then she tweeted Sophie Ross directly because, like I said, Sophie has kind of made this into a big thing on Twitter. So Christine tweeted her and wrote, you are an actual sick human being. What kind of journalist of sorts are you if you are getting information from a Reddit page versus the hundreds of videos I posted throughout my pregnancy journey? Then Sophie and Christine had a back and forth on Twitter, you know, arguing, and Sophie was like, at least I didn't fake my engagement. I mean, again, that doesn't have anything to do with the pregnancy, but whatever, it's petty. You know, this Sophie Ross girl, I'm not that familiar with her outside of her work on Ryan Bailey's show, but when I did look her up, she kind of has a history of getting into beefs with celebrities on Twitter. She had this thing with Kendall Jenner a few years ago, so she wrote something nasty about Kendall. I think Kendall had done something or allegedly done something. Then Sophie said some mean things about her, and then Kendall and Kim Kardashian like responded to her on Twitter. I think they quote tweeted her like, you're so horrible, why are you saying this about us? And then, you know, Sophie did podcast interviews about it and sort of a little mini, you know, a little media tour of, you know, my beef with Kendall, and sort of used it for clout. She was also involved in the Dave Portnoy thing. So after that Me Too, that bullshit bogus Me Too article that I went through on the pod a few weeks ago, when that dropped, Sophie sort of hitched herself to that and was tweeting up a storm about it. And then she either she either beefed with Dave Portnoy himself on Twitter, or it was just the Barstool Sports fans. I don't know. It was whatever. It's arguing for clout. It's like arguing on a reality show for a storyline, you know? So these online blue check people, they do this. It's just sort of how the game works. And yes, I'm aware that I'm an online blue check person myself, which is probably why everyone always thinks that everything I do is fake too, so I guess I get it. But Christine shouldn't have even responded to Sophie's tweets, because like it's literally just giving her what she wants, and I guess someone like Sophie is good at eliciting a reaction out of people, so that's the skill she has in this kind of situation. Like, there is a rule about this, right? So if you're a celebrity and you go out in public and you're being, like, heckled, you know, someone's, like, saying shit to you in public, which does happen, celebrities know not to respond to any of that, because what happens is the person usually has, they're either filming it on their phone themselves or their friend is filming it, and then they want you to react. And then when you go, shut the fuck up, you cunt, they take that footage and they don't show that they were like antagonizing you. And then they go and like sell that to TMZ or something. And then the celebrity ends up looking like shit. So Christine really should not have responded to that. And she should have recognized that that's what this is. But I guess she feels, I don't know, maybe she's feeling the heat because she is in the hot seat this season, apparently, as the villain, according to all the tweets I see. And now she has everyone saying she's faked her pregnancy. Maybe she's just feeling a little sensitive. But, yeah, I believe Christine. I'm team Christine. I like most of the Selling Sunset girls. I really like Davina as well. And you know what? Davina only has, like, 160-something thousand Instagram followers. And then every single other chick on that show has, like, 800,000, 1 million, 2 million, and then Davina, a fucking day one cast member, has like 170,000 at most. I'm kind of shocked by that. Like, she's either shadow banned or people just dislike her that much. I know she's kind of like a bit of a villain on the show, but I think Davina brings a lot on there. Like, she does kind of stir the pot a little bit, and she's very honest. I think she gets edited badly sometimes from what I've seen on the show so far. And yeah, I don't get why she doesn't have followers. Is it because she doesn't have like a big plastic face and she doesn't do the whole Instagram thing? Like, no shade to Christine and the other girls, but the other girls are so over the top glam and they have heaps of surgery, and Davina just kind of looks like normal. But I don't know, I like Davina. So yeah. So I don't know if any of you guys care about this show, but Portia Williams from The Real Housewives of Atlanta, her spinoff has premiered. It's called like Portia's Lives Matter or something. She got her own spinoff. She left The Housewives of Atlanta, although I saw on Twitter that I think she said that she's going to come back to Atlanta, which is unfortunate because she is definitely for Atlanta, the fakest housewife they ever had. Just constant lies and denies and fake storylines and fake boyfriends and the whole bit. But her spinoff is out, and of course I'm not going to watch her. I'm not a fan of her, but I did see some pretty good preview clips of it on Twitter a few days ago. So they've made her whole thing with like stealing Fallon's man a storyline. So if you guys don't know what happened with that, was that last season of The Housewives of Atlanta, they had this new girl on, Fallon, and she had this like old rich African dude that was, you know, keeping her in this nice house, and she filmed as a friend. And then after the season, I don't know if it was after the season wrapped or right before, she split up with this guy, with this rich guy Simon, Fallon did, and then Portia ran off with Simon and was like suddenly engaged to him. And then this whole narrative came out of Portia stole her friend's man. Now look, I'm the biggest like Portia hater ever. I don't think you can like steal someone's man. You know what I mean? Like, I think if two people are in a relationship, it's on them. So maybe he's a dog that cheated on Fallon, but I don't, like, Portia and Fallon weren't even friends. Like, people try to find like every little clip they can of Portia and Fallon with a friendly interaction or something. It's like, there were co-workers on a show and Fallon wasn't even full-time, so whatever. So I'm not, like, hating on Portia for running off with Simon, and it was, like, true to her character anyway of, like, what I know Portia to be. Like, Portia's very shady and will do anything, and she loves money, and she saw a meal ticket, and she went for it. But they're addressing this on her spin-off first episode, and not only are they addressing it, they're, like, making Portia look shit, because the clips that I saw from this episode, They played like side by side. They kept cutting back and forth. They had Portia's ex, Dennis. He's like the hot dog entrepreneur that she had the baby with. He's talking to her sister, Lauren, and he's like, okay, when did Portia and Simon get engaged? Like, how long were they dating for before they got engaged? And Lauren's like, 2 weeks. And he's like, that's like really quick. Like, what? Seriously, 2 weeks and they got engaged? And she's like, yeah. And then they cut to Portia talking to, I don't know, someone. I'm not sure who she's talking to, this other woman. And the woman's like, so when did you get engaged with Simon? How long were you all together? And she's like, about a month. So it's like the things aren't adding up. They're showing that Portia's a liar. Like, we all know that Portia's a liar. Then they show Dennis saying, Portia never would have been with me if I was broke. Portia is like the man stealer of the century. She stole Fallon's man. So they're throwing Portia under the bus. Now, the funny thing about this is that people on Twitter I'm seeing are like, yes, like, you know, Portia's getting owned, because Portia's very popular, but people have kind of turned on her for stealing Fallon's man. But it's like the joke's kind of on you, because now everyone wants to watch the show because of this. And it's going to give Portia good ratings. Again, it doesn't please me to say that, because I am no Portia fan, but that's just giving the show ratings. And you know what? By the end of the fucking season, y'all will love Portia and Simon together, probably. So they're getting it out the way, like episode one. I don't know how many episodes the show is, but by the end of it, I'm sure she's going to have a good edit. I find it weird that Portia, though, goes for all these guys with money, because early on when she was on The Housewives of Atlanta, they said that she had, like, you know, a rich African sugar daddy. I think they said that about Kenya too. I don't know. Both of them kept getting called escorts for a few years, I think, with African sugar daddies. Portia was with Cordell, obviously, who was the was he NBA or baseball? Anyway, he was an athlete. And the rumor about him was that he was like low-key gay, and that Portia was his beard, and that she just wanted that lifestyle. Who else? Obviously, she was with Dennis. He has money. And then the guys that she's been with that are broke were just fake boyfriends for the show. Because there was one season where she had this guy and she was like, oh, I want to have a baby nup, which was just such a stupid storyline. It was so forced. And he was this young, cute guy that she dated, I think, in like high school, and she brought him back around. And that was obviously a fake relationship for the show. So I'm just surprised that she goes for dudes with money, because I thought that Portia, like, she has her own money going on. She's one of the more popular housewives. I mean, she was doing Dish Nation for a long time. She was a big part of Atlanta, which would give her a good check. She's got a lot of Instagram followers. She's probably one of the most followed housewives. She's got all these like businesses. She's got fucking hair care and lingerie. So I don't really get her having to go for dudes with money. And you look at this guy, Simon, she's with. Like, he's not attractive. He's like an ugly old sugar daddy. So it's just strange to me. But hey, I guess one day you can be raking in the money, and then the next day you can be dropped from the show and you're like a Z-list reality star that's doing flat tummy tea for a check. So maybe she just wants to really secure her future. She's already going to get child support from Dennis. She has a baby with the new guy. That's going to set her up a bit more. So I don't know, I guess she's just savvy. Okay, one last thing with the housewives. So, Peter Madrigal from Vanderpump Rules. So he's one of LVP's flunkies. He runs Sir, I believe. He's the manager. He's never been a cast member of Vanderpump Rules, but he's appeared on the show on and off over the years, and he's very close with Lisa Vanderpump. Well, I follow him on Twitter, and I only follow him because he follows me, which I thought it was strange that he followed me, because all I did for like 2 or 3 years straight, probably 3 years straight on Twitter, was bash Lisa Vanderpump, because I can't stand her. When she was on Beverly Hills, when she left Beverly Hills, I'm like, bye. But when she was on the show, I was the biggest hater, and he ended up following me at some point, which I thought was strange. So I followed him back. And I saw in my timeline the other day, one of these stupid Beverly Hills fans, you know, the nasty Beverly Hills fans that are always like, the mean girls, Kyle and Lisa Rinna are bullies, like those kind of fans. One of them got photos of Kyle Richards and zoomed in on her hands and zoomed in on her face and she has some wrinkles. They're not flattering photos. And they go, holy moly, Kyle Richards at Paris Hilton's wedding, as if to say, look how old she looks. Now, first of all, she looks fucking phenomenal. Not in these photos, but in general. If you're watching the Housewives Girls Trip, she's, like, gorgeous. She's stunning. I feel like she's getting better with age. So, yeah, that's just a hater right there. But Peter responded to the tweet and he wrote, perhaps being mean creates wrinkles. And I just thought that was really gross because, well, first of all, like, why are you commenting on her wrinkles in that manner? Secondly, get over it. I mean, this fucking, like, the bitterness from Team LVP, like, for him to do this, I blame LVP because I feel like it comes from the top. And I just feel like their whole camp is so toxic towards Beverly Hills now and, like, Kyle. And Kyle and the Housewives of Beverly Hills have moved the fuck on from Lisa Vanderpump. Like, the show has thrived since Lisa Vanderpump left. It's more relevant than ever. The Denise Richards season and then the season with Erica Jane stuff going down are, like, the two most talked about seasons in years. So, you know, no one cares about Lisa Vanderpump. And then to see that she's still bitter and that her people are, like, making mean remarks about Kyle, I think is fucking gross. Vanderpump Rules is a flop now. I stopped watching it. I wouldn't mind interviewing some of the cast members from it because I still like them all. Like, I think they're cool people. I just don't care about the show anymore. Lala and Randall have split. I'm sure you're all following that, you know, in Page Six and everything. They seem to be done, maybe for good, because I saw that Lala has changed her podcast. So her podcast used to be Give Them Lala and Randall. It was a joint podcast. Now it's been changed to Give Them Lala. It has new podcast artwork. And I saw that when she changed that, it, like, shot to the top of the charts everywhere. Like, people seem very interested in Lala and Randall's breakup. So what's going on with them is kind of interesting to follow. But as for the rest of Vanderpump Rules, I don't care. I kind of think this should be the last season, or they should just bring back all the old people and, you know, continue filming with Stassi and Jackson and everyone. So yeah. Okay, I'm going to bring out Gamble now. Let me just explain to you guys what's going down on The Real Housewives of Melbourne at the moment, because we get into it in the interview, and if you're not watching the show, you're not going to have any idea what the hell we're talking about, because it's this storyline is, like, so over the top. So one of the new housewives that joined this year, Anjali Rao, she comes on and I think she's been really good on the show. So she comes on and then she gets into some drama, right? She has a fight with Gamble at some point, and then Gamble sends her this text message that is apparently really mean, and then Anjali wants to stop filming the show. And then it looks like, wow, was Gamble, like, a mean girl? Did she run Anjali off the show? And then more stuff begins to unfold, and then we find out that this was on camera. Kyla, who is another one of the new girls, she's friends with Anjali. She goes to Anjali's apartment. Now, Anjali lives in this, on the show, she's just moved into this, like, 6-star luxury apartment in the middle of Melbourne. You know, it's amazing. And she makes this big deal about how she lives in this beautiful apartment. And then Kyla comes over and she says, well, you know, Janet, was Janet in your apartment? And Anjali's like, no, what are you talking about? And Kyla goes, well, I heard that she tried to break into your apartment and went through your cupboards to see if you really live here. And then Anjali goes, well, of course I live here. All my stuff's here. And then we find out that the real reason that Anjali stopped filming the show is because she believes that Janet had broke into her house and that there was, like, this plot between the women, I guess especially between Gamble and Janet, to find out if she really lived in the apartment and then to expose her on the show. Because, no, she in fact does not live there. She's confirmed this on Instagram. She was just renting the apartment for the show. Now, I don't think that, and I get into this with Gamble, I don't think that Anjali was presenting a fake life. I think it was part of the production. Like, production were like, okay, we can't film at your house for whatever reason, so we're going to get you this apartment and we'll film there. But I think that Anjali, in her mind, is thinking, okay, I've been, like, set up. You know, they've given me this apartment and now they're, like, exposing me for living in a fake apartment. So she goes off the show, and then what happens is it's a bit of a miscommunication, right? Because there's a lot of he said, she said going on. And then Janet confronts Kyla because Janet says, I never broke into her apartment. What happened was we were filming this pool party scene in there was a communal area. There's a communal pool in the building and we were filming in there. And then I looked in a room that was a communal room and there was just like nothing. Angela has no photos in her apartment or I don't know, something like that. She looked somewhere, but the point is she didn't fucking break into her apartment. She looked in something in like a common area and she was like, oh, I don't think that she really lives here, but they weren't making a storyline or anything. They'd just been like chattering to themselves. They played some of the audio, like Janet had said to Jackie or Gamble, one of them, yeah, I don't think she lives here. And then Kyla's run to Anjali and framed it as she broke into your apartment. And then they're having an argument of he said, she said. And then the big question mark is, was this just a miscommunication and Kyla sort of thought that they had broken in, but they hadn't? Or did she actually maliciously plan and say this to Anjali to like rile up Anjali for the show and to make drama? Because we find out that Anjali took it so seriously that she went to like the security in the building to check the security footage to see if anyone had been in the apartment. So that's what's going on. That's become this whole mess. And it's, you know, and Anjali quit filming the show halfway through the show. And again, at first we think, oh, has she been run off the show because Gamble sent a mean text message? And then we find out it's this apartment thing. And then Anjali's being quite vicious to the other women in her confessional, saying that, you know, Janet and Gamble, I wish I never met them. They've never achieved anything in life. They're just gold diggers who married rich men, da da da, like really lighting them up. And it seems really mean on Anjali's part, but then you're like, well, Anjali thinks that there was this whole plot to like expose her as a fraud when she wasn't actually really a fraud because like production got to the house. So that's where we're at. I hope you can understand it. And I get into that with Gamble. So all right, I'm going to bring out Gamble, you guys. Thanks so much for listening. Make sure you're following me on social media, on Twitter and Instagram at UnpopularJP. I also want to thank all of my latest patrons. I haven't done this for a few weeks and I feel like a lot of fucking people have signed up to my Patreon recently. I don't know when I last did the last shout out. So I'm just going to scroll right down to the longest that it gives me. Okay. All right. Shout out to Katrina, Laura, Audrey, Amanda, Whitney, Boho Beach Peach. I actually think I did thank these people because Boho Beach Peach is making, it sounds familiar to me. Thank you, AM, Julia, Maritza, Maureen, Justine, Heather, Fabian, Rebecca, Shannon, Waleed, Caitlin, and Jack B. Yeah, you guys are awesome. Thank you so much for supporting the show. It means a lot. You know, I just saw this article in Page Six. I feel like I'm mentioning Page Six a lot, but I do fucking love me some Page Six. I saw a thing about Dave Portnoy after that, you know, bullshit Me Too article came out about him, that a couple of his advertisers had dropped him, like Snickers and Macy's. They either dropped him or they weren't buying ad space, but he makes so much money. Barstool Sports does. They make so much money off of merchandise sales and stuff like that, that it doesn't really matter if advertisers drop them. And when I saw that, I'm like, it just reminds you how important it is to support create. I mean, I'm not saying that to like beg everyone to like support me on Patreon, but I'm just saying in general, like, especially if you do like edgier content or you do the kind of content that will, you know, get you a lot of backlash and say things that upset people, it does make a difference to support people like that, because then when people do come along and they fucking like try to cancel you or, you know, get you dropped from your podcast network or get advertisers not to work with you or get people not to be associated with you, when you have that like core support, like nothing can hurt you because your supporters are there and they're, you know, supporting you. So yeah, I just want to make that point. Anyway, I'm bringing out Gamble, and the recent episodes of Housewives of Melbourne have been really good. You might want to skim through. They sometimes have some filler, like they'll go to a yoga class. I mean, they had one scene where they were racing cane toads. I felt like it went for about 15 minutes. I'm like, okay, can we get to the drama or something funny? But it's definitely picked up a lot in these latest episodes. And I hope they do a reunion, and I hope if they film a new season that they get the cameras rolling soon, because I feel like now we have something going between the women. And, you know, I talked to Gamble about some of the former housewives potentially returning, which would be amazing. And yeah, so thanks for listening, guys. I hope you enjoy. Okay, guys, I have a really amazing guest this week. She is definitely one of my longtime faves from The Real Housewives of Melbourne. Please welcome to the show, Gamble Bro.
Well, hello there. Haven't you caused a bit of problem, Jack?
Well, I didn't think you would be allowed on the podcast. I was shocked because I thought, you know what, after my Janet interview, I'm like, there's no way I'm going to be able to talk to Gamble. And then here you are.
So how do you like people to pronounce your name? Naughty Naughty or how can I pronounce your name?
It's Jacques.
Jacques? But,
yep.
Oh, but my God, my husband would kill me for that. Sorry, Jacques. Darling, it's such a pleasure to be here with you.
I was worried after I interviewed Janet when I heard through the grapevine that interview caused a shitstorm, and then I was like, oh, I hope Janet's not upset with me, like blames me for because I love Janet.
Janet's wonderful and she only ever blames herself. She really knows when to wear it. She just thought it was okay to talk about what was going on. And I think because I think that you got sent a lovely gift pack, didn't you?
No, I said that they should. I said Foxtel should have sent me a gift pack because I think we promoted the season a lot. I think we got people very interested to tune in and see what was going to happen because that's what they do on the on like Housewives of Beverly Hills and everything. The juicy storylines kind of leak beforehand. Like you'll hear that, you know, Denise quit the show or Lisa Vanderpump ran off the show, and then you tune in, you want to watch it. But I feel like maybe in Australia they're a little behind with the Housewives marketing and they didn't quite get that.
Well, I think that when it comes to leaks, this season has had plenty. So we only ever really get to see the episode on the day it's airing. And, it's unfortunate because it's a bit annoying.
I think things play.
It certainly put your podcast on my radar.
Well, first of all, how is your tooth? Because I talked to you yesterday, and you got your tooth chipped at the Logies a few years ago, and then it happened again yesterday.
Well, yes, and so I had to do a bit of. Luckily, the borders are open, and I'm able to get around a bit better than I was. But yeah, it's a bit. It does throw things a little bit. Yeah, it's difficult.
It's such a
chair. Oh, well, can you believe it? A microphone hitting you in the broke both front teeth, like quite in a circular shape. And then I was mucking around with an acrylic nail and I didn't get the nail off. I got my tooth off. So it's not never going to be the same. I should chase that reporter down and hit her back.
My phone rang yesterday, and then when I answered, you're like, darling, I've knocked my teeth out. It's like, this feels very Gamble.
It feels a bit more rugby than me. I don't know.
There's so much I want to ask you. I want to find out about your life before the show and how you got on the show, but let's talk about the new season first because, look, this is season 5. You filmed after about a 3-year hiatus. There was a huge cast shakeup. Obviously, 4 housewives left, including Lydia and Gina, the OGs. Then you got 4 newbies. So how did you feel? How was it filming with, like, this whole shakeup? Was it tough? Was it easier having new energy?
Oh, it was a fun season. It was just so surprising. Like, I honestly thought Angela and I were going to be besties. I thought she had such potential to be such a great addition to the show. She was vibrant and funny. And honestly, I just feel like the Carla said to me early on, she said, oh, why don't you come over to our side? And I'm like, Carla, there are no sides. You need to be individual. Like, you just need to be an individual because we're not always going to agree. And I think that the one thing that Simone Elliott brought with her is that she brought herself, you know. And I think Carla brought herself, but I think that she tends to have followers, Carla. I know that when I made friends with her, she's like, okay, well, let's make a pact not to do this. I'm like, Carla, it's not how it works. I felt like the second I actually got close to her, she wanted me to kind of join some sort of pacty sort of thing. And I'm like, nah.
Like it's Survivor, so, basically, like you're playing Survivor.
Oh, yeah. And you know what's different? Different ballpark. Now, after working with people on Celebrity Apprentice, oh, my God, it's different chemistry. You need to have your friendships and, you know, your alliances and way different way different genre than Housewives, but I think that she was treating house. I think Kyla was treating Housewives like a game of knock off your opponents, meaning her own friends. Because honestly, what I've seen come out in the press about Angelique, I like Angelique. I thought she was wonderful. And I mean, one thing about us Housewives is money comes and goes, and it comes and goes. And it comes and goes. And when it comes sometimes, and sometimes it goes, it really goes. And we've all been on the bone of our asses, more times than I care to admit. And so it wasn't an issue. She's still a housewife, you know what I mean? It doesn't matter if you're a broke housewife or a wealthy one. But unfortunately, I think she's been definitely, as Janet would say, what does she call it? Gaslighted. I called it fear-mongering on the show, but gaslighted. I think that Angela was wiped off the show by her friends, and I'm not happy with them.
Okay, I was going to ask you about that because, firstly, one side note, when you said money comes and goes, when I interviewed Janet, she said that, I think it was maybe her second season or something, she didn't have any money and she was, and you guys all kind of, that didn't really come out on the show. So no one did a whole, Janet, you don't have the money that, like, that never even came out. So obviously, you guys aren't like that. Secondly, with Angelique, I loved Angelique on the season. And I had, before I watched the season, I had heard whispers about it and, you know, gossip in the industry and everything. So I kind of had a preconceived notion of what she would be like, more on the negative side. Then when I watched, I'm like, wait, I think Angelique is great on this show. So let's get into what happened with her, because it's kind of this whole thing with Angelique, there's so many twists and turns to this, I feel like. So it kind of...
I think
of-
that we really are only... Because I only get to watch the show when you do, I'm only just seeing what happened behind the scenes. I only saw last night what happened with Kyla saying that, you know, that Janet had broken into her apartment or gone into her apartment, one or the other. Now, we've all like at one time I had a landlord and I couldn't film at my place. So I was actually filming my master interviews at one of the producer's parents' houses. I mean, like, honestly, I mean, we've had to do what we have to do and we have to do it. But I don't know if the word break in entry was used, but it certainly in last night it was used. And I can imagine how terrifying, truly terrifying that terrified Angelique must have been. And so, look, I have no idea. I'm watching it as you do, what happened behind the scenes, and I'm equally sort of like, what the hell? But it looks to me, from my opinion and from my perspective, that she was gaslighted by her friends.
Let me just give the background for people so they can understand. So first what happened is you all went out for this kind of like dinner in Cairns and there was some drama, usual kind of housewives fight. And then I think you got cross at Angelique and you had sent her a text message. You were pretty angry at her. And then it kind of, Angelique was stepping away from the show. And then the narrative at first started to look like, well, Gamble sent Angelique this mean text message and now Angelique doesn't want to film with people and then doesn't want to film the show anymore. And then people started talking more. And then this story came out that that Janet had broken into Angelique's apartment to see if she really lived there. Then we find out that that came from Kyla, because Kyla told that to Angelique. And I guess where we are, and then there was this big bust up about it on last night's episode. And I guess the big question is this kind of like a he said, she said, where it's been twisted, like it's a miscommunication, or has Kyla intentionally framed it like this to Angelique to make Angelique feel like there's sort of like this gang up and this plan to expose her, which has run her off the show? Because I did see that Janet said in the Herald Sun, Janet feels like it was done intentionally and that it was the new girls were competitive with each other on the show, and Kyla's a bit of a mastermind and concocted this and gaslighted her, and Angelique's fled the show. It's like a master plan.
It's very difficult because I had to live through it, and I my text messages to Angelique were private. They weren't going to be used on the show. If I wanted to put something on the show, I could have tweeted it or said it in public. And she was very particular about how she read out those text messages saying that I called her these names, which out of context make it sound like I've sent her something quite abusive. I was upset because the night before we were supposed to work together on some music and maybe some ideas for her career, she stood me up. And I was upset because I thought she thought I was going to put her through the ropes or something at my house. It's just not the way I roll. And she'd also come in on the show saying fights are all made up. And the first thing she does to me is attack me, saying that I wanted to gang up on Kyla. And I tried to get, you know, involved with ganging up on Kyla, which from my opinion, now, unless you really want to twist my words somewhere, I would never say that to anyone. It's not the way I roll. And at all. In fact, it goes against all of my core values to gang up on anyone. It's like the opposite to how I roll. If I, even if someone I don't like, I see them outnumbered, I will jump on their side just to even the sort of yachts, you know what I mean? I don't like that. And so when she came at me with something against my core values, her and I were on. That's why I looked like I was absolutely, you know, infuriated, because she hit me in a nerve, which is my core values. Like, yeah. If she'd said anything else, oh, you dress like a tart or whatever, I'm like, yeah, okay, whatever. But she hit me in a spot, which is like the complete opposite way the way I roll. And at the time, I was trying to kind of look after Kyla there a bit, because I know that it was getting a bit funny with her and Janet early on, and I had no beef with Kyla. Look, it just makes me think, actually, going back on those text messages, I honestly don't know how Angelie ticks, and I think we're just going to have to play it out, watch it on the show, because I just don't know. And, I mean, I could blame Kyla if I wanted. I didn't look like Cherry and Kyla were exactly helping her feel supported to get out of it. But then Angelie has this incredibly pompous sort of superior attitude that I can't even gauge. I've never even experienced anyone with. I phoned her up after I heard her saying gutter rats, because obviously Simone and Janet and I were just like dumbfounded, Jackie particularly. And I, instead of like going, oh, what a bitch, I actually phoned her and I said, Angelie, are you okay? Like, love, I mean, I've been around for a while, but calling us sewer rats, it's a bit much, love. I mean, like, what are you, no one did, Janet did nothing to Angelie, may I point out, like, you didn't even say boo. And I'm like, it's in her head. So I phoned her and I said, are you okay? And she's like, oh, yeah, I'm fine. And I, what'd she say? I'm happy with the way I'm portrayed on the show. And I'm like, well, you know that you are being quite unkind to me. And my text messages have been read completely out of context. I put a lot of energy into trying to do something with Angelie. She didn't ask me to do it, but I had, because I know how important it is to bring yourself to this show, that have things you're personally invested with, because otherwise it doesn't resonate to the audience. I mean, Rick and I put a lot of energy into everything, my father's exhibition, my music. I held that off to have it published on the show because people follow a culture, they don't follow your music necessarily, and Housewives is my culture, you know. So yeah, we've been holding on to things and you know, it was just a relief to get the music out and that sort of stuff. And then I had Angelie on my plate where I'm like thinking, I really want to help her. How can I best help her when I had so many other things up in the air? So I got cross at her for that, and I got cross that she didn't feel that she could come to my house and it be a safe place off on camera, because I'm not going to stitch someone up at my house. I didn't do it to Pettiflow. I'm not going to do it to Angelie. And, I, you know what I mean? I stitched you up somewhere else, but not in my home.
Well, isn't it, though, with the Housewives, okay, even if you – I know you weren't going to stitch her up, but even if you were going to – say you were, that's still part of the agreement of doing the show. It's like you show
not
up
really.
And you face up,
I mean,
isn't it?
We fight about lamps and dumb things, you know what I mean? Like, I mean, I've never heard of anything more absurd than Janet breaking into someone's apartment. I mean, she's flat out getting out of her own house, you know, aren't we all at the moment? I mean, honestly. So anyway, but let's just see what happens eventually. We'll just put her on pause at the moment. I don't know what's going to happen with her. And
I have to see it
unfold in front of you, because I'm hearing for the first time what's happened behind our backs at the same time as you are. And I'm processing as well, by the way, because it hurts.
I felt like she was very She was really harsh against, like, you and Janet, especially in her confessionals. She was vicious. So you must watch that back and be kind of shocked. But then it's, you're probably in another mindset where you're like, well, if she thinks that we had this plot to, like, break into her house and to expose her on the show, wouldn't anyone react like that? So
I mean,
strange.
For a journalist, she didn't do much research. I mean, she obviously doesn't know how I roll. Those girls aren't they're not little tiny little kittens. And I walked in, you know, backing Gina in my first season as a nobody, as somebody no one had ever heard of. And that didn't get me on the right side with Janet. So she obviously didn't do much research on the way we all roll. Janet never had a beef with her at all. I mean, I just don't think that. Maybe she had, like, journo friends that think this show is, you know, garbage and that sort of stuff. It's just an insult to us and to our viewers. And I mean, there's no such – I mean, everyone's got a profile on social media now. It's just entertainment, having us all together. Everyone's sort of like, you know, their own star in their own right these days. We all have a platform on social media. So it's not like – it's just – we're just making TV during a pandemic, and our relationships only make sense if they happen on camera. So for her not to be on camera is letting down not just the people on the cast, but everyone behind the scenes that is invested in her emotionally and taking a chance at her. I mean, production apparently did give her a place in the apartment block. I wasn't really aware of it. I never really thought she lived there. I thought if she did, she was there more as a job sort of thing, like a service apartment, which is like, I've got a place in Sydney. Like, it's just, you know, I live there, but I don't live there. It's not unreasonable. But but then, you know, I've never been asked to have a housewarming in a hotel room either.
Well, I felt like with the apartment, because I guess that a lot of the viewers have taken it like, okay, well, Anjali is this big fraud that is, like, falsely depicting this glamorous life that she has. But when I saw it, I kind of figured, I'm like, look, her house probably wasn't, maybe it was too far out, maybe
she
couldn't get permission to film it.
Yeah, she's got a child.
And she probably just, production probably just helped her, look, this will be fun to film at, and, you know, and then.
Well, I mean, no, but we've all had places where we filmed at that we don't actually live at. I mean, like, it's happened for me on my second season, because one of my houses was, like, before we bought this house. I mean, I was a bit of a nomad. It's as simple as that. There's nothing I mean, we've all had jobs where we don't necessarily live in the same city. I mean, I don't know if we've all have, but we've all had to, you know, like, live with our parents or do whatever it is. I mean, it still means that we're just making TV. We're not, you know. But I think that what was most important for Anjali was to work out what she wanted to take away from the show, because the people that are the most successful going, I want to boost my champagne label. Boom, let's, like, take a machete and cut someone's head off, you know what I mean? Of wine, champagne, you know what I mean? For me, you know, once they picked up the music career, I was like, yeah, I can do this again. I really want to push that. I want to get my father's name out there. He was part of Australian history, as a lot of our early artists weren't recognised very well because not a lot of PR behind it. So before someone has to try and do the forensics of where his wild artworks come in my journey, whilst I'm still alive, I can record them. So that was good to give me a deadline for my family to do the exhibition. But I think that with Anjali, that she's got a lot of friends there in the media, and they probably think that Housewives is a bit beneath them, and that she's probably not only getting spurred on by Carla but other people. But I think this is a question for Anjali, not for me. I can't speculate till the cows come home. I think she's a decent girl. I think she's a lovely girl. I would have loved to have known her a bit better so that I could have helped her. And I don't know. I do reach out to her, but what am I supposed to say when she throws such, you know, wild, pretty heavy insults at her. That's something.
It would,
like,
be good if there was a reunion, I think. But, I mean, I saw on Twitter, do you know if there's a reunion? I saw on Twitter they said that there's no reunion.
Yeah, but we'll see.
Well, I think there should be.
But the number one rating show on Binge at the moment.
I saw that. I was I kind of thought the show was flopping, and then I saw that it was, like, topping Binge, and I'm like, okay, wow. And I do always
see
it on
the world,
Binge.
That's in the world, by the way. That's in the world, not just in Australia. So
yeah.
We're there. You've got a huge following.
You've got a huge following. And I have a lot of US, I have a lot of listeners in the US, and I always get messages of like, we wish Bravo would be airing The Housewives of Melbourne again. It's our favorite. Like,
Binge is international though. So it's like, that's exciting to be number one, because it's number one in the world. Now, it may be a new app for people in the States, but we're more accessible now.
But look, I hope there is I hope there's a reunion for sure. I think there needs to be. If I was talking to Angela, I would say you've got to go there. And I mean, it's part of the show. Like, I really thought Angela was great on the show. Like, I was like, wow, she pops on camera. She has the great confessionals. I think she has everything to be a housewife. I think she did fuck up walking away, but I would love to see her go to the reunion and redeem herself. And then, you know, some of those confessionals at the end were brutal, so she kind of should answer for that. And it's like, you know, conflict resolution. And, you know, if there's a new season, I don't know if she would be able to come back since she did walk out, but, you know, the season
of course she could. She's always a housewife, and I mean, she's quite a potent housewife. And when I phoned her, I thought maybe she was upset, and she was like, no, I'm happy the way I'm portrayed. Now, if she's happy with that, that's good, because we all will miss that. If she's not there, you know, going, well, they're a bunch of, you know, well, it's funny. I mean, like,
I think she was portrayed pretty good. Like, even like when she came off arrogant, that's kind of a housewife.
It's
interesting. Yeah, I think it's really funny. I think
just didn't get to know her before she became naughty. Yeah. You know what I mean? It's the unfortunate thing. Like, Gina, people had got to understand them, and you know, we'd had a couple of shots at her, but no one had had a shot at Angela. It all was happening kind of oddly, I think. I don't know. I can't even tell you about it, but I am very excited about the other girls.
Okay, and, I'm going to ask you about some of the other girls, because another big storyline is, okay, this thing that happened was with Kyla. So they said, Janet said that she lied about how often she'd been to France. Now, before the season, I had heard all these rumors. It was like Janet brought up something so shocking about Kyla, and it was like unbelievable. And I was like, oh my God, wow. And then I like watched the show, and it was just that like maybe Kyla lied about going to France. I feel like that's not that bad. It was kind of pretty funny.
There's some things that don't make the cut.
Oh, yeah, that's what I was thinking, because I'm like, I heard all these rumors if it was the most scandalous thing ever. And then I watch it, and it's just you haven't been to France as much as you said. And I'm like,
we can fight about that too, though. I mean, I think that a very intelligent woman pointed something out on Instagram and said, a fantasist, I had to look it up. I was like, and it means, you know, I think that's right. Fantasist. Anyway, I think that she has a bit of a nice way to spin what she does. But I think that's part of the luxury brands market, is that you need to look like you're living in the high life or something, or part of
fake it till you make it a bit.
Well, but it's part of her brand. She's champagne, and like, you know, people putting $120 or $60 on a bottle of wine, bubbly or whatever. It has a tendency to have sort of like that. I don't know.
You said nice things about Simone. A lot of people like Simone. I'll be honest, I have red flags with Simone. So with Kyla, okay, so watching Kyla, to me, I'm like, Kyla seems kind of fake, but it's like, it's
you know
like,
where you she's know, coming
she,
from.
You know she's fake, so it's like funny and it works. Whereas Simone comes off real, but I think Simone is like super calculated. I feel like Simone's like really playing the game and like very strategic. And I feel like it keeps coming up in like almost every scene I see with Simone. I'm like, I feel like a lot of viewers aren't noticing this, but like my spidey sense is tingling watching Simone.
To tell you the truth, mine were too. I'm like, she's just kind of too good to be true, you know. But that's why we have a council of friends, and that's why I've got Janet and Jackie, because when I've got doubts, I run it past the council, and they've got a different point of view. And Janet is Janet steers me back. And honestly, I keep wanting to find things that aren't there. She's just gone through a traumatic breakthrough. She knows what she wants to get out of the show, and that needs to be quite clear. I think that she's quite to be recognised as a businesswoman, a business leader, taken seriously, and wants to build her social profile and become, you know, part of that sort of businessy, influential sort of market. I think that she's got a plan, and they'll probably come up in the next season. I think she's got another season, or at least it's just, it's hard when you're dealing with someone so beautiful, who's very intelligent and quite reserved, and but also funny and fun. Look, time does tell though, and you kind of know by the end of the season, but I definitely like Kyla. I understand where she's coming from. I know what she wants to take away from it. She owns her stuff. She's fun to party with, but she's very snobby towards me, and it doesn't really show on camera. And that's where I start to lose it with her now.
Yeah.
Because she's being very snobby to me. Janet's commercial in the green room, she was just awful, and I'm like, hang on. I'm like, excuse me, I could have been mean to you when you came in. Now when she started to get her feet, she was like, oh. And I wanted to do something at Bruce's and. Oh, we'll go into that later because that comes later. But when we're at the baby shower, I wanted to do something in my private life at Bruce's and Chica's. They've got that beautiful venue where we had the baby shower. And she said, oh, no, we've done too much shooting here, and sort of dragged Bruce off. And I'm like, I know.
For a first season housewife, that's pretty ballsy. And earlier in the season, she was telling people what to wear.
Yeah.
Said, and you need to step up the fashion.
And I watched Bruce drag off going, oh, you're okay. And I'm going, you piece of shit. And I was like, I've supported you. You didn't see it on camera, but I was like, I've supported you the whole way through this thing. And you're what? You're going to mess with my private business? Because he's got a whole kind of cabaret set up there, which would be really great for one of my songs. I want to saw a woman in half for the music video. But I don't think that.
Fun.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to happen somehow. I don't know how to shoot it. But anyway.
That is very bold, though, to come in to the season straight up telling the ladies, look, step up the looks, these, because this happened, I think, episode one or two, it came out that she texted
everyone. And
Janet's
coming for you and, these bad things on. Yeah, it's a bit like throwing the bat, like scaring the other girls, like, oh, Janet's only coming at me because that's what Janet does. It's not what Janet does. It's just,
I feel like there is I feel like between Simone and Kyla, there's a low-key, we want to be the queen bee, whereas I feel like we want to be the new queen bee, and then I feel like you and, like, Janet and stuff are just chill and you kind of just roll with the punches and have fun with it.
Yeah, I think that I've given Simone, because I think she likes social media a lot, I've given her a bit of a hashtag, boss, because she's, like, very good at organising things. So I think she kind of wants to be the boss, not so much a queen, a boss. And with Kyla, Kyla's just comfortable in her own skin. It's just with that slight, I don't know, she's like part, part Bogan, part Dane, part whatever. She's great value. I think she's good value. It's a pity her
I think
and
she's
I
really good on the show.
Don't get on very well. But I think if we all got on, it wouldn't make very good TV. But I don't know if it's going to come across how she is with me. And but she's... yeah, she's definitely on notice.
Is she a bit like, I mean, Pettiflor had the diva stuff going, right? Is she like a new Pettiflor?
Pettiflor is great now
that
she can talk about her life. Yeah, now if she, I wouldn't change the way Pettiflor was now, but she wasn't resonating with us because she wasn't talking about what was really happening in her life. And I think there's an element of when you're not in a great place when you come on the show, say, Angela not loving,
where she's at.
But you go through transit phases. I mean, before I moved to Melbourne with Rick, I was living in a room with a shared room with a girl working in an art gallery for 4 years. You know what I mean? Like, it wasn't a glamorous life, but it was within my means, so I could get a leg up in life, to my husband.
Well, what was life in Sydney for you like? Because I wanted to ask, because I've seen a few interviews with you over the years where you sort of reference Sydney, like the social scene of just being like a hellscape of like it's really horrible and it's really cutthroat. You sound like you didn't have a good time in Sydney, and then when you got to Melbourne with Rick, it was like everything sort of was wonderful.
I left Sydney. I went out with a fellow who, were quite sort of big on the social scene, and he was very wealthy, and a lot of the socialites single socialites wanted that life, and it was a bit difficult for me at times. I felt like I was fighting them off, you know, with a stick a lot of the time. And then when he and I eventually broke up, it was quite a high-profile breakup when it comes to high-profile. I mean, we're out every night in restaurants and all that sort of stuff. Yeah. It got a bit mean towards me with his new girlfriend, and they were quite cutthroat. So I came down to Melbourne because I just found it easier to just start my life again and to be on the bones of my ass and work from magazine from wage to wage and until I sort of, you know, found myself again after that relationship, because you need to go the depths of to sort of rebuild and come back with the parts of you want to keep and the parts that weren't resonating for you anymore. Do you know what I mean? And I knew what I wanted in life, so I just kept writing out what I wanted in my life and that sort of thing, and it sort of eventually came to fruition about, you know, 10 years later, kind of all came together. But I had to go back and work in Sydney for a while. I just found there were two rules, there were a few rules to take away from what I sort of discovered, and I just wanted a partner that was, you know, an active, you know, a good person in the community, and which my ex was as well, but that just wasn't, you know,
into that scene. And
that's hard to explain.
He's really, really sweet. Like, I spoke to him once years ago when I think I called you up about an article. This is many years ago. And then you put me on the phone with Rick because I think it had something to do with his business. And then I've had a lot of eye issues. And then he was giving me advice about my, like, eye surgery and stuff. He's really, really sweet. And I really like your relationship on the show. Like, even at the last episode when you had the album, the EP launch, and he was crying watching you sing. It's just, you have a really sweet relationship.
He knows how hard I work. The band wasn't there. I mean, it was really like the exhibition, my family couldn't be there. And then I'm just trying to sort of like, I had the music video behind me, so I'm singing with my track, so I'm not out of sync with the music video. And, you know, I really wanted the band and to have some energy and that sort of stuff, so it was all a bit awkward. So he knew that was a bit hard, like it was a bit sad. And so he's like, oh, you know, and I'm like, I'm up here by myself. There's plenty of places to hide with the band. And that was a bit, But, you know, like, we're both like, oh, God, thank God it's, you know, it's hard. You have to be brave, you know what I mean, in life. And this was a bit tough. And before I tried to go on, they're like, okay, Kyla and Jack Cherry, can you, you know, go and be in the audience? And they wouldn't move from the bar. And there was all this bullshit going on. They were such bitches. God, they were such bitches.
Well, did you watch back see them talk about you miming?
Well, I wasn't miming. I was actually singing along to my music video. And I'm sorry, but my band couldn't come from Perth. But you know what? They were being absolute bitches that night. I don't know what was got into them, but then you'll
see. So Cherry too?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. They feed off each other, and it's unfortunate, but you know what? That's okay. I think that once you see yourself doing that sort of thing, you have to reconsider. But, you know, I mean, what's the worst thing about Cherry is that she sort of, she chuckles at other people's, you know, misfortune, and that I find very passive-aggressive and not really very proactive.
She's interesting on the show because at first I felt like, why did they cast her? I was like, she's so boring. She fades into the background, especially compared to like Kyla and Angeli, who have these really big personalities. And then Cherry's kind of grown on me the last few episodes, but it's because I see the bitchiness, but it's more subtle. Like you.
Yeah. So I have a nickname for her. I don't know if it'll come out.
Could you share it?
I can't. Interesting. I don't want to blow it for anyone, but I'll tell you after the season if you like.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's fill me in. Blunty. Blunty. Let's just.
I can imagine.
She's very blunt.
And I think she is a little bit like. I mean, okay. So her and Kyla keep saying that they're the diplomats. I think they want to be the diplomats. I think Cherry could maybe be a diplomat. I think that Kyla
just
needs
to step it up a bit, really. Yeah. I mean,
Angela, I don't think she'll.
We had a housewife leave the cast, and that is all of our responsibility to try to intervene in that happening. And I'm not happy about it. I tried to pull Anjali back. Janet never had a beef with her in the first place. And when I spoke to Anjali, she said, oh, Janet said things about me in the press. I'm like, Janet's got nothing to say about you. It was actually because she'd left and that was with you. She was, and I'm like, oh, for God's sake, I don't know. I mean, a housewife left the show, and that is serious, and I'm not happy with it because that was her at their watch, and they could have given her enough support to be there at a baby shower, at anything, and just said, oh, look, you know, Ange, if you're not up for it, just come, because, you know, it's not like Anjali is like putting a great massive career on hold at the moment to film this show.
Yeah. There's a lot of, I was going to say, with Kyla and Anjali having a bit of a rough trot in the season, there is a lot of hazing when you join. Like, when you come in, remember they said you were a stripper, you had the sex parties, everybody, the famous. Yeah. What was that? Was that just some, like, disgruntled socialite from Sydney that had, like, called Janet or something when she heard you were on the show?
When I had my breakup with a certain person, the first story that was ran in the local paper here, because I was I had a partner before I was with Rick, and that was taken off the internet because it was not correct. But he called me a model kind of thing, and that was sort of like he sort of spun some stuff that made the social pages made it. So I think that they picked up a lot of stuff from that article, and I contacted the there's an element of responsibility. The next story about me actually put the facts in place properly, because he'd said that I'd had an affair on him and he'd actually had an affair on me, and that came up after I'd been on the stand in court. And so they corrected the article, and so I asked them the digital component if it would affect my career. So that came out in the papers, and so it was all a bit spun on like that. But the point was is that I wanted my relationships to play out on camera. And Janet was a friend of my friend's and had invited me to lunch. And I said, no, I want to meet her on the show, because I didn't want to be swayed on opinion.
Okay.
I didn't want to, you know what I mean? And so I think she thought that saying no was a bit hostile. And so that's how we ended up being hostile towards each other in the beginning. But at the end of the day, I mean, my name is Gamble. I've had pretty wild life in Sydney, and I lived overseas with my ex-husband. So I kind of, when I came back to Sydney when I was 27, no one had seen me since I was about 21 when I got married, and I was in the music industry before that. And God knows what, you know, those few years after I was 18 were pretty wild. But I mean, I wasn't spinning around on a pole. But I mean,
You're a party girl.
Party, but you know, like.
Yeah.
I'm actually a bit of a germaphobe, so what really freaked me out about is saying I had sex parties, like, ew, no.
Well, you faced it on camera, which is good, because you didn't run away from it. You sort of tackled it head on, and then you just got over it. Now you're like besties, so.
Yeah.
That's.
I called her a whole lot of stuff too.
How did you actually get cast on The Melbourne Housewives? Like, did you hear that they were casting, or how did it come about?
Well, apparently I was asked for the first, but one of my friends said, oh, they asked about you, but I told them you were in Sydney working for Village Gallery. And I'm like, my God, if I had a job, I would have been in Melbourne, because Rick and I found it hard to find another job after my magazine closed down. And so I had to go up to Sydney for work. And, but I found it in others on Facebook. On Facebook is where I found the talent.
It's like a casting call. Oh, okay.
And they just said, would you be interested in auditioning for the show? And I sat with the producers, and then they came to the house, and I said, Rick, we're doing the show. I want to do this show. It'd be fun. And it's just lucky that we're open to it, because I think when you do sort of like where you've made mistakes in your life, if you unpick them, you go, oh, I got my own way. I'm like, we're not getting in our own way. We're going to do this show. There's, you know, we make it. And Chris Moss spoke to Rick, and he said it was great just to do it. And, I mean, they had a pretty wild experience, to say the least. And I just knew that from what I found from their experience was probably not to make it too much about the practice and that sort of stuff, because, you know, it's like
you don't want the boring. Well, also if and if you get in drama, then it could accidentally reflect on. I can't even talk about Andrea though. She wasn't happy with the my last interview, so I don't think she likes to have her name mentioned.
Oh well, then let's not talk about it. But I'm just saying that they were very.
No, I know
they were very nice to us, and it looked encouraging.
Do you think we'll ever see Pettifleur again?
Oh, yeah. I think she was actually, if it wasn't for lockdown, she would have been at the exhibition. If it wasn't for lockdown, she would have been at my record launch. She was invited to everything. But at the time, I think it wasn't right for Pettifleur. I reckon if we do another season, we'll see Pettifleur for sure.
Amazing. I'm a big fan of Pettifleur's. And I've spoke to Pettifleur over the years, and I spoke to her at kind of the height of the housewives stuff. And then I've spoke to her after she did I'm a Celeb. And after I'm a Celeb, she honestly was like a different person. Like, she sounded really grounded.
She's great.
And like,
even before that, because when she got out of what was happening, and I don't know when I can talk about it, but she's
just
all right.
She really had, like, she was really sweet. And I was like, Pettifleur, I'm like, you sound really, this is not the same Pettifleur that I remember. Like, she, you know, because the Pettifleur that I knew when she was on the show was closer to her portrayal on the show. Just, you know, just.
Yeah, when you get through the armor, Pettifleur's armor is, I am Pettifleur, well, you know what I mean? She's all bravado. But when you get through the armor, she's all right.
Yeah, she's sweet. I really, you know, which cast I really liked was when you were originally going to, this was kind of my fave cast that you were doing, was when you originally started filming for season 5, that was kind of perfect because you had Gina and Lydia, then it was you, Janet, Angelie, Cherry and Kyla. I thought that was like a killer cast.
That would have been amazing, wouldn't it? Yeah, it would have been good. But don't tell that to Simone. I think Simone was earmarked for it, but she couldn't make the announcement. So it was going to be a large cast. But yeah, I would have liked to have had Gina and Lydia there. And I think if there's another season, we'll definitely see Lydia.
Oh, we need Lydia back.
Yeah, we need Lydia. She's freaking hilarious. The thing is, she comes out, turn right here and I'll give you another rouge.
I love her.
You can't make this stuff up.
What about Gina? Like, how were you with Gina? Because you had a lot of drama with her on sort of season 4. That's funny. Everyone I've seen, like Janet and Jackie, it's like everyone's getting, like, Gina's everyone's bestie now. It's like everyone's getting along with Gina so much better now she's not in the show world.
I haven't actually been, I've been meaning to call her, but I just want to wait till Celebrity Apprentice is, like, you know what I mean? Because I don't want to.
So you didn't get advice from her for the show? Because she obviously
did. I went up there and filmed with her when she did it. And at the time I was getting married on Housewives, and it had a cross date. So I couldn't do it. If I wanted to win Celebrity Present, I couldn't do it. So I didn't want to I wanted to go in there sort of like I did with Housewives, which could be a good or bad decision. I don't know.
Congratulations on the music. I feel like with your new EP, Baron Joey Road, you're kind of like maybe the only housewife with a music career that actually wants to have a real music career, and you're not just doing like novelty dance songs to cash in on the show. Like, you're actually doing it properly.
Well, you know what? If I was doing it properly, I would have a novelty dance song, because the thing is, it'd be great to have a song that you could do appear in clubs with, whereas my stuff's sort of really sort of soft rock.
It's pop. Like singer-songwriter-ish.
Yeah, and I mean, my goal with the music industry is to write for other people, not that they really appreciate that at times. I tried to write for Angelique. It wasn't a great idea. She didn't even turn up. So, the end goal is to just keep writing, and I feel like my writing's getting better. I should have stuck with it. I got a publishing deal when I was 18, and when I lost my hearing, I lost all of my confidence along with it, and now that I've got, you know, the operations and the technology so that I've got sort of semi-bionic hearing, basically, my confidence is back and I'm picking up instruments and enjoying myself again. But
it's good, and I liked seeing it on the show. What else can we expect from this?
I know, it's
season?
A shame, though, that I didn't have the band. I would have liked it to be a bit more.
No, I thought it was good. I thought you did well. I thought it was like a good scene. I thought it was fun having the cutting to the bitchy comments in the audience and then having the supportive comments too. Like, it was a, it was a good, made for like a fun scene.
Yeah.
What else can we expect from the season? It looks like it, you know what, this season, okay, I'll say about this season, because I do think it started off a little boring. I almost feel like they should have like extended filming a bit more, because I feel like this second half of the season, it's really like picked up with all the stuff going on. Because it's really these last few episodes are getting like really juicy. Like at first I was a bit like, well, I don't know about this new season. And then once stuff started picking up, I'm like, okay, this is like getting really good now.
To tell you the truth, there's stuff I still don't know about what exactly, there's some stuff that happened and I still don't know exactly what the hell happened, do you know what I mean? And then I kind of got like sucked off to do another project, and so I'm on the end of my edge of my seat and going, because you know, yeah, hang on.
So you're watching the show back and you're seeing things and still trying to figure it all out. We obviously need a reunion then, because if it does feel like there's, if any season needed a reunion, it's definitely this one.
If we can get, I think there will be a reunion. I think that we're doing okay, and I believe there'll be a reunion. I wouldn't listen to the to anyone if, no, I don't know. I mean, I've been told there's no reunion. I'm like, nudge, nudge. Okay. And I'm like, okay, there's no reunion. And there's no, yeah. There's going to be a reunion on or off the show. We'll probably get stuck into each other on Twitter. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, you've got to do something. All right, well, look, thank you so much for chatting to me. This
was
really fun.
Can I take a screenshot of us?
Oh, my God, I look disgusting. Hang on, wait.
All right.
I've got a zit on my neck.
Oh, God, no one can see your zit. My God.
Girl, they can't. Wait.
All right, okay, just look handsome.
No, wait.
Like you're sober.
Oh, my God. No, I look too bad.
Just sit in front of your pillow that's not.
And I have my unmade bed in the background.
Okay, look the other side of your thing. Go the other side of your mic. Come on.
Wait.
Go the other side.
Oh, my God. Now I'm like going red.
I don't know. No one can see red. Go the other side of your mic just slightly the other side, so you block your pillow.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Look through there. Just look through there.
I can't.
Okay, all right.
let me move the pillow, okay? Move the pillow.
Okay. Oh, that looks so pretty now. Have you got a teddy bear you can put on there?
Oh, my God, another thing to... I don't have a teddy... Oh, wait. I have an Adventure Time.
Can you put that on?
BMO. But then I look like a grown man that's like a man.
All right, well,
baby.
Just move one of the other pillows over a bit more just so it looks connected.
Wait.
Have you got another pillow you can drag across? Yeah, that's better. Yeah, perfect. I'm a bit of a bit. Oh, that looks perfect.
No.
Now, you ready?
Oh, wait. Can you see anything on my floor, like my back?
No, you can't. You can see your bunny, which is cute.
Oh, my God, wait, my hair.
God, you're worse than me.
You know, I didn't get my hair cut for so long because of lockdown, because I was in Sydney.
You look amazing.
I'm trying to grow
it
out.
Look, you got horns.
No, because it's growing. Okay, my hair is like growing out and it's flicking. Wait.
Okay, just smile. Oh, you're so pretty. Oh, my God. Okay. Just put your arms down now, don't you? Fine. That's mine.
Oh my, but look at that, though.
It's okay. Well, you can shop it out. I'll send it to you. Okay, smile. Smile if you caused a whole lot of trouble on the Housewives of Melbourne. We'll make sure you're in. Yeah, I got it. I will make sure.
This might need a bit of filtering.
I'll send it to you, darling, because I don't do that. I mean, I tried.
Did you cut out?
Luke thinks I should give up trying to filter. Oh. Last time I did, I just looked like a blow-up doll.